I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
So Claire and Owen arrive in Malta, and there's a dinosaur black market.
Yeah.
Which is basically the cantina scene from Star Wars, isn't it, really? But with dinosaurs?
Yeah. It's like a Henson puppet workshop. I feel like if this film wasn't complete, like, dog shit, this bit, you know, like the Harry Potter world or whatever?
Yes. Yeah.
Like the dining room or whatever, like, people would go to an attraction in Florida and you could go in the Jurassic World Dominion dinosaur black market scene and wander through, and it would be like a cool, you could see different things going on, but that's never going to happen.
No. I'll tell you what would be funny, because you know this film was made by Universal.
Yeah.
Universal also owned Illumination, and this film's Jurassic Park Dominion. There should have been a little minion in this. And they could have been like Jurassic World, the Dominion.
Dominions.
Going, oh, banana. And then gets eaten by a raptor. Fucking people would be pissing themselves. You'd have to get out of the cinema in a canoe if I hadn't. Just be
I mean, I've never. I mean, the minions follow whoever the evilest person is in the world at that point, right?
At one point, they do follow
a
dinosaur.
They follow Dodgson.
Yeah.
But yeah, they wander through the dinosaurs doing illegal things bit, and there's a dinosaur like opening his like trench coat and being like, do you want any cocaine? And there's dinosaur prostitutes.
Dinosaur sticks.
Yeah. Well, dinosaur embezzlement going on.
You should have that man that used to come around the pub with dressed in the white coat going, you want any dinosaur sticks? Like crab sticks. No. Also, point about the Minions is that in the Minions film, we see that they did follow a dinosaur and they accidentally killed it. They followed a Dracula. They accidentally killed him. And they did follow Napoleon. But they were strangely absent when Hitler was about. So maybe they're not all bad.
Yeah.
There you go. So,
I've not seen any of the Minions.
Oh, well, that's one for all the kids listening. Owen's former colleague from Jurassic World.
Oh, yeah.
Who is now a French intelligence agent. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
I had to look up his name. Do you know what his name is?
No.
Barry.
Barry.
That's Barry fantastic. Wanders in.
That's fantastic.
He goes, Janine! There's dinosaurs!
Doesn't need a microphone, famously. What was the song he sung at the awards ceremony, or whatever it was?
Oh...
Oh, it was Mustang Sally, wasn't it? So Barry, again, we're working in this world like it's been written by a child. It's like in the first, you go to apply for French intelligence. Where have you worked before? In a zoo. You've got the job.
The CV system in this world is absolutely batshit.
Mad. I could get a job quite easily if I lived in the world of Jurassic World. So there's dinosaurs.
You just wonder. He wanders in and you're like, they're like, remember Barry? And you're like,
nope.
No?
Yeah, barely. I mean, maybe we'll do it at some point, but Jurassic World, I love the way in Jurassic World the plot is, what if we made dinosaurs weapons? It's like, you've done this. And so, anyway. So, So there's dinosaurs cage flying. There's some sort of got like Ramones logos drawn on them. There's cages. There's some being cooked. And there's the giant ones that are kept in prison cells, and I don't know how they got in there, but they get out.
Nope.
And then a woman who we don't know anything about, who I'm guessing is probably more in the extended cut than this one, suddenly arrives and is like, oh, I've got another job for you, poachers. I want you to drive this van that's being driven by somebody else full of these, and they're called Atrociraptors, which seems like these are raptors that do atrocities. So, like, they...
In the Venn diagram of Jurassic Park and Terrorist Park, they're, like, in the middle.
These raptors, instead of being in a cage, they'll go on the London Underground and explode, or something like that. I don't know. But the Atrociraptors, she says, I want you to drive this truck that's already being driven out with these raptors in that, again, from the previous film with the Indoraptor, if you point a red light at someone, it will attack them.
Yes, which makes sense when the dinosaur can see the red light. Mm. But they go on to just be like, they'll point the red light at someone when the dinosaurs aren't even looking.
Yeah.
And then the dinosaur's like, I can smell lasers?
You know what would be much better is when they point the red light at someone, that person then in the dinosaur's earth turns into a sort of sumptuous smouldering turkey.
Yeah.
Like from
a
cartoon.
Or like it just makes them shit themselves. Oh, and then the dinosaurs are like, oh, I'll get that one.
Yeah. Or just some sort of paintball or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
And then I've put here action sequence that has less than zero business being in this film, with foot chases, bike chases, car chases. And we meet Kayla, who is the pilot of a plane, and she says for the first time to someone, hold on tight, which I've counted. She says it 4 or 5 times in this film. It's her catchphrase. Yes. Hold on
tight. She says it nearly as many times as they just cut to a long-necked dinosaur to be like, eh?
What?
So she has seen earlier in this film, she did the trade of the raptor, and then she's seen that a child is being given to the Biosyn people, and she turns a blind eye, and then she finds out that Claire is the mother, in inverted commas, this child, and it's like, oh, okay, I'll help you. And then she just fucks off and then randomly appears again out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't worry, I'll help you. This is very convenient.
Mm. I'll get in this truck that I've just stolen. That man could have been, he was doing scaffolding, I think. He could have been wanting to get home to his dying child. And it's a 20-minute drive away, and he comes out, and his van's gone. And I have to phone his wife and say, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to miss the death of my daughter because someone stole my truck.
Yes.
Who said, hold on.
And also, dinosaurs are loose in town.
Yeah.
That's going to cause traffic anyway. Like, you won't be able to get an Uber at that kind of day.
I love the decision of, because Chris Pratt again goes on a motorbike. So we get motorbike raptor chase.
Yes. Now, is this the best bit of the film?
Possibly. But even that's bit... bad.
Well, yeah, but it's a dinosaur sequence in a Jurassic Park film.
In a different setting.
In a different setting. Mm. And, you know, when you're learning about dinosaurs in school, they talk about all their different attributes. And obviously one of the main ones is parkour. So you got to include, you know... Jurassic Park is known for like being up to date with science.
Yes.
So dinosaur parkour.
Exactly. I reckon he wrote that on a blackboard and all the executives applauded. Like when James Cameron wrote Alien and then put the S as a dollar bill sign.
Yeah, I just wondering what other things from like 2009 they could have got the dinosaurs to do.
Someone saying to a dinosaur, no one puts baby in the corner. What? There's a bike chase, and the bit where Owen rounds the corner, and the two massive dinosaurs just standing there, and people just wandering about next to them. Like, wouldn't these people be running? A man on a scooter just goes past, going, "Oh look, a big dinosaur, mate, run away!"
Yeah, they're in a town square, right?
Yeah. And they're just the
Which
dinosaurs
looks
are there,
a bit like Casino Royale.
It does a bit. Yeah.
It's just a bit like they've gone, well, we need a big bit with the town square because that's in films.
No Time to Dinosaur, am I right? But yeah, it's so weird. It's like there's a moment in the film Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, where they've put Superman flying past a London underground. Well, it's supposed to be a subway station, but they've comped him on, and they've forgotten to tell the extras that he's flying by, so they're all just completely ignoring the fact that Superman's flying by them. Which maybe they're just inured to, I don't know. But this is two massive fucking giant carnivorous dinosaurs in a town square, and everyone's just like... Yeah. And the man's like, I'm going to go out on my scooter. I don't care what's going on. I've been waiting ages to go around the town square on this thing. And he immediately gets eaten.
Maybe that's a comment on capitalism. Maybe, in that. Yeah. Like, capitalism is so bad that even when you could potentially be eaten by a dinosaur, you've still just got to get on with your job, or else your boss won't, like... be forgiving for that.
Exactly. You think these scooters are good, but I tell you what, the payments will eat you up. Something like that. So
and Claire then, like, tries to outrun a dinosaur.
Yeah, she tasers one at one point.
Yeah.
They wander into a woman in her small child's kitchen while she's making dinner, and they have a battle in her kitchen, and she hides in the cupboard. And at no point does Claire go sorry about that, because they lead one of these Atrociraptors in.
Yeah.
Who presumably on the way up has molested a child, hence his name. I don't know. And it just walks in the kitchen, and she hits it with a frying pan, tases it, and then jumps out of the window, and it follows her. These people are going to be terrified for life. Imagine a home invasion of your kitchen by two angry people and a dinosaur.
Well, maybe if the town square is anything to go by, they're just like, oh, fiddlesticks.
Happens every day in Malta.
Oh, Dad said it'll be home in 20 minutes.
I'm giving my child her last meal. Do you reckon they're going to... Because in Malta, famously, is the Popeye set that hasn't been demolished.
Oh.
The Robin Williams Popeye film, it's still there. Do you reckon I'd have put Jurassic Park in there. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, have Wimpy getting eaten by one.
Yeah, and give, like, a T-Rex, like, massive forearms.
Massive... Well, there'll be massive little forearms. It'd be even funnier.
They do a big chase scene, which again, we need a chase scene in this Jurassic Park franchise. And dinosaurs jumping around doing parkour because it was popular.
Yeah, they contacted the spirit of Michael Crichton via a medium, and he came back and said, I really want to see a Atrociraptor being hit in the face by a motorcycle and falling 30 feet into the water to its death, please. And they made it happen for him. That's for you, Michael.
They have like earpieces in so they can talk to each other while they're wandering around.
Where have they got the info?
And it just doesn't make much sense. And so Claire's managed to get with the pilot to the airfield, and then she's going to give him a lift because she's rescued them and she feels guilty. And they say, we're at the airfield. And Chris Pratt's like, great. How the fuck does he know where that is?
Yeah, I don't know. Which one? The one by Sainsbury's or the one by the beach? One by the beach. Okay, fine.
Oh, and by the one by Sainsbury's. I'll be there in 2 minutes. Oh, there's a dinosaur chasing me. Oh,
shit. I'll go through the car wash, see if it distracts him. So he gets on the
plane.
At this
point, I want Chris Pratt to die.
Yeah, it would have been much better if he died here. Or, actually, there's a bit coming up where it would have been perfect if he died. But, I'd be happy with him here.
I'm just saying, not just to make sense in the plot, just I want Chris Pratt to die at this point.
There's too many cooks in this. Too many cooks. There's just too many characters for a Jurassic Park film. It's not Lord of the Rings.
No, I know.
It's just too many. Anyway, too many. So they escape. And meanwhile, at Biosyn, Wu meets Maisie. And he tells her, this is something she's going to have to use. I can't speak. This is something she's going to have to get used to. Is everyone going, oh, your mum. Oh, she was so good. So amazing. So bright. So clever. And then it's almost like they're sort of saying, what's the matter with you? Why aren't you very clever?
Oh.
So you've got some video of her mum going, oh, well, I've cloned myself because I'm ill. I've got a genetic disease. So I'm going to clone myself.
Yeah.
The hubris of it. I'm going to clone myself to eradicate that disease and make me again.
When we were watching this, my girlfriend was just sat next to me going, she's pregnant with herself. She's pregnant with herself. She's pregnant with herself.
She is. She's like a Russian doll. Imagine if she'd given birth to John Hammond.
The whole... Say again.
Imagine if she'd given birth to John Hammond. That'd be much better.
He just comes out with a big white beard.
Push, push, push. You say that to her while she's pushing him out of her vagina. Push, push. I always like to see her first so we can... She'd be the first thing I see.
And so, but like, this whole... The whole thing about Maisie is she's a clone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what's interesting about her.
Hmm.
And then they're like, well, not really. You're not really a clone. You just sort of... You were just given birth normally, you know.
Yeah.
Just there was just some extra science happening behind the scenes.
You're basically one of those mice with the ear on its back.
Yeah.
But less
so they've removed anything interesting about her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's now just a completely redundant character. She should have died. She should have got eaten by a raptor or something.
She gets Beta free and then Beta's like, ow.
But we find out here that Wu needs her because apparently her and Beta's DNA are the key to creating anti-locusts. Somehow. Yeah.
He
needs to create a pathogen.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. They have really like an emotional chat, don't they?
Yeah. They do, and it's really boring. But let's skip over that. Because Ellie and Alan have made their way into the secret levels downstairs, and we find locusts and pampas grass. Buy us in as swingers.
They're not just evil.
They're also evil swingers.
They're not monogamous.
Oh, I bet they get a lot of DNA out of their hot tubs. Do you know what I mean? Talk about soup.
Is that how biosins run?
Yeah.
It's like they go down to the floor with the locusts and then the floor underneath that is just full of like cum jacuzzis.
Oh, that lad from Saltburn's in there all the time drinking it like a milkshake. Big straw.
This bit really fucking annoys me because Laura Dern's fringe is poking out of a hazmat suit.
Mm.
Yeah. Because you need to know it's Laura Dern.
Hey, David, life finds a way. Do you know what I mean? What they're saying. It's like in the first one when Alan's got the two female seatbelts and he ties them together. Life finds a way. Jeff Goldblum says, he says in the first one, it's like a fringe in a hazmat suit. It's always going to poke out. So it's a callback.
It's a bunch of... What are those big-headed dolls called? There's a bunch of Funko Pop collectors got the fringe out.
She's got the fringe out. Here's £48. I'd like a small model of someone with a big head.
Yeah, I'd like the Ellie Statler fringe out hazmat suit Funko Pop, please.
Why haven't they made a John Merrick Funko Pop? I mean, he already had the big head. So it's an accurate model.
They've made the Funko Pop of the main villain in this.
Oh, have
they made one from this Jurassic Park one? Have they made?
Yeah, I think you can't get them anymore. Because it became attracted to itself. Maisie releases Beta and they run off, right? And the locusts are going mad and Ellen and Ellie are trapped with them, right? And there's a bit here where we get a weird thing happens, right? So they're trapped in this kind of containment area with loads of gas coming in to clean them. With loads of locusts, and Ellie's bracelet, which gets them through all the doors, falls off, and we get a close-up of it falling to the floor. I'm like, oh, God, that's going to be really important. And then literally the next shot, she picks it up and puts it back on.
Yep.
Just zero tension.
Yep. It's very insane. Much like in the Rise of Skywalker, when they're Chewbacca's dead.
Oh, yeah, he's dead, yeah.
No, he's not.
He's fine.
Yeah, no tension. Absolutely zero tension. Oh, in the chase scene on the parkour dinosaurs, there's no music.
Oh yes, you're right.
And there's just no tension in this film.
No.
Whatsoever. And nothing is happening. And they're just kind of like, and like the bit with the corn shaking when they go through the locust room.
Mm.
It's kind of evocative of Jurassic Park 2 when the raptors are in there.
Yeah.
And it could be good, but it's just not.
Just by the numbers. Yeah.
And it's not. And then Blue escapes.
Well, I've written here in capital letters, a raptor has escaped, brackets, a raptor has escaped, and Dodgson just casually walks about. Wouldn't you raise some sort of alarm that a carnivorous dinosaur has escaped in an underground compound? That's like... the horse in the hospital. You don't know what it's going to do, but he doesn't do anything. He's just like, he starts seeing an apple.
This is the first sign that the security system here is woeful.
Well, it takes them 10 minutes to tell him that there's Alan and Ellie have broken in. Yes. He goes, when's this footage from? He goes, 10 minutes ago. 10 minutes ago?
Yes. Absolutely woeful security throughout. Every single time there could be any kind of... Like, the next scene is they're trying to land the plane and the pilot's, like, giving them a code. Mm. And it's an older code, but
it checks out.
Yeah.
I was about to let them through.
And here you get the glorious... So the lady she's talking to on the phone is Freya Parker, comedian.
Yeah.
And then Ahisha and Alexander Owen all together. Because the security is run by comedians, which makes sense.
What a bunch of bloody jokers letting us in.
Yeah. Oh, also, at this point, there's a creepy, younger sort of overseer.
Oh, he's henchman. Henchman.
Is he a henchman, though?
Because he's supposed to be Dodgson's henchman, but he sort of disappears.
But was he in the other ones?
No.
Because he appears and it kind of seems a little bit like he's the one sort of giving Dodgson suggestions.
I think he's just saying, oh, he's the one to come in and go, oh, these people have broken into the Locust 10 minutes ago. And there's a plane coming and we need to turn off the anti-flying bird magic spell.
Yeah.
Which is what they do. And Owen, Kayla and Claire's plane is attacked by a massive flying dinosaur. And they've only got one ejector seat thing. And Claire happens to be sitting in it.
Yeah.
So she...
And this is one of two good shots in this film.
Yes, I was about to say this.
Or maybe three.
Mm.
Yeah, it's the bit where she's... Chris Pratt spends a lot of time saying there's two parachutes.
Yeah.
Which you're like, maybe there's going to be doing that. There's going to be like a reason for that, which kind of removes the tension a little bit. But then the way this is shot, where it's like on her face and she's kind of staring down the barrel of the lens, doesn't look anything else like any other part of the film. And it's quite exciting.
It's great. Yeah. And it's really tense because you get lots of flying dinosaurs just whizzing past her. But then it immediately resolves itself and it's fine.
Yeah.
Because there's a scene actually which has the potential to be incredibly creepy.
Yeah.
Where she lands in a tree like parachutes do in films and is dangling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this fucking Freddy Krueger ostrich comes along.
Yeah. with blind eyes.
Disgusting motherfucker just comes along. It's like, like proper like toucher. He's got big long toucher fingers. Oh, let me touch you. He comes along and he wanders past her and doesn't see her. So she immediately puts herself down on the floor and makes loads of noise. He's already let you off. He then sees a deer and just goes, fuck off. Just swipes
it. We were saying, is he like a... Like, he's not a meat eater. He's like a plant-eating dinosaur.
I think he's supposed to be a plant-eater, but he's like...
But then he goes after her, and then I think this is the best sequence of the film until it doesn't resolve itself.
Yes.
Where she's walking directly to the camera, staring down the barrel of the lens, and it's very tense and...
Yeah.
She could get caught, she could not get caught, and it's all kind of like a single shot, and it's all very
tense. He's stalking her slowly, because he's obviously blind. God knows why. Probably those long fingers probably did it.
Just trying to eat an ice pop, and he's like, fuck.
Why is the cork on the fork? He's a Therizinosaurus, apparently. I had to look it up, because part of me was like, I've never seen that thing before in my life. It's disgusting. So she goes in the murky green water, and as you say, it's quite a good scene because they have the moment where he's kind of putting his beak in there and she's just under the surface like, but then he just walks off.
Yeah, and he fucks off. And he could have fucked off for a reason, just any reason.
Mm.
Like a deer come along, another dinosaur comes along.
Bigger dinosaur, yeah.
There's an alarm. Mm. They could have put a shit reason in.
Yeah.
But they didn't put any reason in. No. He just disappears.
He's like a Bond villain henchman. He's like, well, they're clearly dead. Off I go.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Owen and Kayla crash land their plane on ice
and
are stalked by a big fat chicken.
Yeah, the chicken dinosaur that is not scary at all.
No, it goes underwater. Owen calls it an asshole. And they escape it quite easily.
At this point, I want the water dinosaur from the beginning just to swallow Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And remove him from the film.
Oh, God. So Ellie tells Maisie, because they meet, she bumps into Alan and Ellie just because the facility is that small. They bump into her and she goes, oh, I knew your mum. She was great. She was amazing.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It makes me think that her mother is supposedly so great that she must have been, because that's the way of life, secretly right wing. It's always the way. People on a pedestal, they let you down.
So every time they see a dinosaur in this film, they say the dinosaur name and they name a fact. Every time they run into Ellie or Alan, somebody goes, I read your book.
Yes.
And every time they're describing somebody who isn't there anymore, brilliant.
Brilliant. Just so good.
They're all... And they just do the same rinse and repeat.
Good as
every
she went,
time.
You knew my mother. What was she like? And Ellie just goes, she was fine.
Yeah.
She was all right. I didn't agree with everything she said.
Son of a bitch, owes me $20.
I thought giving herself as a baby because she was dying was a bit egotistical. She could have used that research elsewhere. But, you know, she was fine.
Yeah, most of us were in the field just trying to kind of get funding wherever we could. But her grandfather just funded everything. So
exactly, yeah.
We weren't, you know.
Between you and me, I'm not really sure her grandfather knew John Malcolm. I think maybe maybe he was making it up. Because John Malcolm, I knew him for a long time, never mentioned him. Never.
Yeah, he claimed he knew him, Malcolm. He also just wandered around all the time going, I made a pig into a dog.
He had a catchphrase of "that'll do, pig," and we didn't understand what it meant.
He just used to shout it from the bedroom all the time.
Now, he had talking animals, didn't he? So that would have been a good callback in this film if there was a talking sheepdog. Run, Alan!
Instead of the shitty Jedi hand thing. Whenever Owen comes face to face with it, he's like, Ba-ram you.
Yeah, there you go.
Ba-ram you.
Yeah.
The secret code.
Perfect. So they go on the Hyperloop, which is this fast train.
Yeah.
Alan decides that they get stopped. Dodgson stops it and they get out in a dark cave and Alan immediately says, this must be the old amber mine. How do you know that? You've never been here before.
No. And then he just makes a torch for no reason other than it needs to look good in the trailer.
Oh my God. Dodgson,
and it's
then
basically like, it wants to be an Indiana Jones film now.
Yeah, he's even got the hat. Dodgson then realizes that Ian Malcolm must be the inside man. So he calls Ian Malcolm to him and he goes, oh, well, I'm afraid you're fired. And Ian Malcolm goes, oh, that's fine. And then he turns around to everybody and goes, well, you're all just here for the avarice. And I'm like, you've been sucking on this tit for months and now you've been fired. Suddenly everything's shit. Like, this is all rubbish. You're all complete capitalist scum.
Yeah. I wrote down here, if all mukbang was Jeff Goldblum chewing the scenery, I'd love mukbang.
Yeah.
Because mukbang is watching people eat. I don't know if you know that.
Yes. Yeah.
And he also calls them a rat bastard.
Rat bastard.
Which is just not... He's like, you rat bastard. Which is like not a very good swear word for Steve Jobs Hitler.
No, it's not. He should have said, you're a twit. Pardon my French, but you're a twit.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
But this is the scene where Ahir was supposed to be. He had some lines, but they got cut, unfortunately.
Oh.
But they were filming during lockdown, so everybody had to be quarantined for 2 weeks in their hotel, and then all they could do was be on set with each other.
Right.
So that, like, there's bits of this film which look like there must have been an expensive day of filming, but it's just because they could do it because they couldn't do anything else.
Anything else? Yeah. Bloody hell. This also, by the way, talking of which, this I reckon for Jeff Goldblum and Sam Neill, it just seemed like such a... They had every day on Instagram, Sam was putting up... I call him Sam, of course. They were putting up just videos of Jeff Goldblum playing jazz on the piano while he sat next to him singing.
Yes. Well, this is like... Apparently they could just... All they could do was just like either film or hang out together, which is quite fun. The silliest thing I've heard is that at the end of their scenes filming together with the comedians, Jeff Goldblum turned to all three comedians who'd been filming and went, 10 Goldblums out of 10, 10 Goldblums out of 10, 10 Goldblums out of 10. That's my maximum number of Goldblums.
Wow. Imagine getting 10 Goldblums out of 10. I'd say, how many Earth Girls of Easy do I get, Jeff? I'd give him a present. I'd give him my dick in a jar as a callback to The Fly. Just to say, thanks, Jeff. A pleasure working with you. A pleasure working with you. Wink. And he's like, you're looking really pale. And I'm like, yeah, I'm bleeding quite a lot. I think I should go to hospital.
Is that a dick in a jar?
Yeah. All right. It's a marmalade jar. All right. We weren't all blessed. So then Owen and Kayla are walking through the woods and we see a T-Rex, and because it's Jurassic World, we have to go, fuck off, T-Rex, here's a bigger one.
Yeah, T-Rex gets cucked by the Gigalosaurus, or he's called.
Your big scary dinosaur just walks into shot and we're told its name and then it walks off. What wonder and tension and excitement.
We could do a fact about him.
Well, yeah, exactly. Oh, he's the biggest cunt. He's the largest lingerie to Papua New Island, admittedly. We could get a puddle, you know, rippling like the first one. We could get trees shaking. No, he just walks tension. In. Hiya.
Yeah, that's like the very first scene. No tension and then dinosaur. And then he bites the T-Rex's nose.
Yeah,
and
T-Rex goes, oh.
Which weirdly is foreshadowing.
Yes, it is. T-Rex goes, I'm telling on you, and runs off. I'm like, this is the T-Rex. Respect its name, motherfuckers. I grew up as a child interested in dinosaurs, worshipping that man, woman. Because all the dinosaurs are women, aren't they? I worship that woman. Apparently, this T-Rex's name is Rexy. And apparently, it's got its own Wikipedia page. It's supposed to be the same dinosaur that was in Jurassic Park. I don't buy that.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, because at the end of Jurassic World, he does a little like scream on the top. There's like a particular scar he has.
Yeah.
She has, sorry.
She has.
Keep on misgendering the T-Rex.
Yeah, get cancelled.
Yeah, what a fun way to get cancelled.
Oh, I betcha. Imagine you going on Channel 4 News about that. The caption, misgendered a dinosaur. I just think that CG dinosaurs don't have a gender. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's the same one apparently, which I think is nonsense. Absolute fucking nonsense.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's just... As soon as you start unpicking this film, it crumbles.
Mm.
It absolutely crumbles. You're like, that's the same T-Rex from the first one. That guy she ate a dude on a toilet.
Mm.
And now she's being, you know, degraded to being second fiddle.
I hate it.
This other female dinosaur.
It's because they're ignoring the science, David. That's what it is. Because I've seen that raptors should be very small turkeys with feathers. I've seen that.
Yeah.
And I've seen that T-Rexes apparently have got the most powerful bite ever recorded on the planet. So when it bites that Gigalosaurus, head should fall off.
Yep. On the nose later on. Spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it was on the nose, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, because the whole thing of the franchise is like they're up to date with scientific dinosaur knowledge, so they shove in the feathered one.
Yeah.
And there's like a furry one earlier on.
Yeah, a little just tiny turkey bird. Just to get the furry market in. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's one that's into dogging. No.
Yeah, there's a gimp dinosaur.
Yeah, the little gimp one. Go get the gimp, Dodgson says. Yeah, the T-Rex is just like, too rich for my blood, bye. And then the Giganotosaurus just walks off.
Yeah, I guess there's something to be said for, I quite like it in shows and films where there's something that you think is the evilest part of that film, and then something more evil comes along.
Yeah.
You know, like when Twin Peaks, when like there's the evil characters and then Windermere appears and he's more evil than all the other fuckers. But they don't really... T-Rex is like, I've got some lunch, and then Gigalosaurus goes, that's my lunch. Yeah. And the Tyrannosaurus Rex goes, oh, bye then.
Yeah. It's gross, is what it is. It's woke, is what it is. I've just decided...
Well, there is a bit earlier on where they're going down the lift and the pilot and Chris Pratt are like,
oh yeah,
they've just nearly been killed, and then they have to have some hilarious banter, and she's like,
she goes, you love her, don't you?
Redheads too.
Yeah.
And goes, it's kind of, it's really possibly subtly implying that the pilot is gay, but very much in a like, some of my best friends have met lesbians.
It's very much like in the, is it The Last Jedi? Or is it? No, it's Rise of the Skywalker, isn't it? Where the lady kisses the other lady at the end, and all the way
in the background.
In the background, because before it came out, they were like,
"Pixel big."
Star Wars is going to have the first lesbian kiss, yeah. And then you have to go like, you have to get those theatre opera glasses on and go,
I don't think they said,
yeah. I think they did, yeah.
All right.
There's going to be fingering. There's going to be fucking tit squeezing. Oh, Chewbacca gets his medal and a facial. You wouldn't believe what we've done. None of that happened.
I like the idea that you were enjoying that film until that happens, and then you're like, ah, this film's been ruined now.
This is ruined now. There's a gay person in it. Oh, God. I'd like it if they did the gay kiss and Rose is even more further behind them, waving, hi, I'm still in this. Shut up, Rose. Two women are kissing. Know your place.
We've done some internet research, and people on the internet hate you, but they love lesbians.
They love lesbians.
So
apparently, there's the quite a lot more lesbians. We found this website called Pornhub. Got a section on them. Very popular. So all stuff happens. Claire gets stalked by those ones with the big heads. You know, the ones that go, the cobra head ones.
The
Dilophosaurus.
The
yeah.
The ones at the end of the first one.
Their dads. I'd like to fuck asauruses.
Yeah, she nearly gets got by them. Yeah. And,
but Owen grabs one and throttles it.
Yeah, there was nearly some tension, and then unfortunately, Chris Pratt ruins the tension.
Yep. So then they meet up with. Oh no, sorry. We get to. I think I've skipped a bit, but never mind. They.
That's fine. They. Hang on. Where are we? They go back to the cave, and they get scared by the dinosaurs in an obvious jump scare bit.
Yeah.
Just after Maisie's like, "Are you two fucking?" and they're like. No,
we have done. But
And then Jeff Goldblum is dismissed.
That's right. He leaves.
And it's just allowed to escape for no reason.
Yeah. And they're stuck. They can't get out of this metal door. And Jeff Goldblum turns up and he's like, I've come to rescue you, but I can't open the door because it needs a specific code. And he goes, it's got 10,000 variations. I know, I'll try the year... some baseball team one or something. I'm like, Ian, what the fuck is wrong with you?
He tries Miles Davis's birthday.
There you go. That was it, yeah.
And then he tries his favourite birthday ever, which was 69-69.
Yeah.
The year I first came, 1962.
There you go.
My PIN number, 8008.
You should go 1993, wink to the camera, the year the first film came out, eh?
Oh, that would be classy, wouldn't it? And then the music swells from Jurassic Park, because this film never uses Jurassic Park theme for dinosaurs. It only uses it for old people.
You know what they should have done? I'm thinking, because you know franchises, it's big to bring back old franchises and bring back the old actors now. Do you know in the last Ghostbusters they had Egon Spengler's ghost?
Yeah.
Very tastefully done, not at all mawkish or horrible and made me feel sick. They should bring back John Hammond here as a ghost to go, Ian, I know the code. It's the year I opened my market on Pillsbury Way.
With the fleas.
Yeah.
It's 1990
petticoat,
flea.
Petticoat market, not Pillsbury Way. Yeah, it's the 1990 flea. But no, that doesn't
happen. And then there's more security, bad security stuff going on.
Well, Ramsay, who we've assumed is a corporate whore with an H.
Yeah. Thank you.
He's obviously the inside man because he sees Ian Malcolm struggling and opens the door for him.
Yeah.
And they all get out, and when they shut the door, luckily it closes again. And then they all bump into Owen and Kayla and Claire. And then they all meet. And then Alan Grant goes, Owen Grady, I know who you are.
Yeah.
I've heard.
They have a bit where they nearly
raptors.
Fall off a cliff in a Jeep because has to happen in a Jurassic Park film. I like how you're like, oh, yeah, fine. It's not, yeah.
And then Ian Malcolm reviews it, doesn't he? He says, Jurassic World, not a fan.
Oh,
Why would you leave that line in? It's so open to being used against this film.
Yeah.
It's well, like this is going, Rise of the Skywalker, load of shit.
Yeah, they don't. My only thought is that they kind of do that ironically so that nobody can kind of nitpick it, because even Ian Malcolm's there going. But yeah, it just comes across as really fucking like. Awful.
It does. And I think this point, it's we're long past the point where the film's fallen off a cliff. I think possibly that was when they crash landed the plane, or maybe when Claire escaped from the Freddy Krueger ostrich. But now we're just going through the motions here, and I'm, you know, just could not care less.
Steve Jobs deletes the locust file on his computer just to be safe. He's like, they won't find this because
and releases them while they're all on fire.
Yeah, and luckily there's a system that if they are on fire, they can get out.
And it causes a massive wildfire in the forest.
Yeah. It's very useful for that to be.
Very, very good. So Maisie and Owen, meanwhile, announce that they need to go and save Beta as they promised. And Ian Malcolm goes, you made a promise to a dinosaur. And then looks at the camera and goes, how, what?
Wah, wah, wah. I think I legitimately shouted fuck off in the cinema when he was like, I made a promise to a dinosaur. I'm like, ow. This film should be over now, and we've still got 20 minutes left.
I think Maisie should do a heel turn here, because at the end of the last film, she was like, I had to release them because they're clones like me. She should, she should turn to Owen and go, fuck him. Fucking let him die. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm not a real clone. Yeah. My mum gave birth to me properly, so...
I was born out of a vagina. It's like, all right.
And he nearly gets eaten, Chris Pratt, and he goes, see, not so bad. And then nearly gets eaten, and again, want him to die.
Yeah.
Doesn't. They tase the dinosaur in the eye, and it's...
Oh, this is when the Giganotosaurus comes back. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, there's zero tension or...
And none of the new franchise cast are afraid of dinosaurs.
None of them.
None of them are afraid. They're like, oh, I'll tase him in the eye and kick him.
There's no respect.
Kick him in the gooch.
Yeah, kick him right in the fucking gooch.
That's their weak point.
That's for scaring off Mrs. T-Rex, my friend. Claire could say. She should stiletto him in the eye. So then Wu arrives out of nowhere. He just steps out of the shadows and goes, ah, well, I can fix everything with DNA.
He's like, I just need to do some experiments on this little girl.
Mm. Yeah.
And they all pause for a second and then she's like, yes.
And
we've got to do it.
So then they find Beta and Owen puts her on his back like a backpack.
Yeah, he has like back. Is that merch? Is there a Raptor backpack merch with like a little zip, like Shaun the Sheep backpacks back in the 90s?
Well, something you put your pyjamas in when you're a kid, yeah. yeah, because it should have been. It's foolish if not. I think maybe they didn't because no one watched this film and it was boring. But it probably made loads of money. Anyway, so they escape in this funny Biosyn helicopter. And again, Kayla says, hold on. For like the fourth time.
Before that, she gets to see the helicopter and she's like, hello, cutie. She fucks helicopters.
Yeah.
She definitely shags.
She's one of those women that goes on this morning and says she's married a tree.
Yeah.
I've married a helicopter. His name's Budgie.
She's written her own crash fan fiction, but instead of cars, it's helicopters.
It's called Props. Yeah. Or Mad Props. Yeah. So then they go out in the helicopter, and then the Giganotosaurus comes back.
Ugh, yeah.
And then the T-Rex comes back.
Via the circle,
and we get the shot where it's the logo from the first Jurassic Park.
Yeah, me and my girlfriend applauded quite loudly in the cinema when that happened. We were like, this reminds me of the bit in Super Mario 1990s film where they suddenly have the outfits from the game
for
no reason.
Yes, you're right, yeah. Just so everyone will go, it's the, yeah.
It's the,
I'd love it if when the Giganotosaurus was fully revealed, it had a massive in proportion penis and balls. And we would look at everyone and go, what? I thought it would be funny. That would be great.
I was giving a dinosaur a cock and then I gave a dinosaur a cock.
Sheila, look at the cock. Throw the research on the fire.
Good experiment on a little girl.
William, it was really something. Look at the size of it. So then the T-Rex and the Giganotosaurus fight, and the T-Rex again gets bitched.
Yeah.
To the point where you think it's dead. And then fucking Freddy Krueger ostrich comes and goes, don't mess with Rexy. I'll sort you out.
Yep, and we still haven't found out why he ran away in the first place.
No.
And then they get in the
helicopter team up
and fly away. And this bit reads like dinosaur fan fiction.
It's so stupid.
It's kind of the best bit of the film as well. And kind
so
of the
bad.
Worst bit, because you're finally getting dinosaurs doing exciting things, but it's not what dinosaurs would do.
No, it's the end of Jurassic World again, isn't it? Where the raptor and the T-Rex team up to kill the Indominus Rex, and the fish one comes out and eats it.
Yeah,
so it's
except
like a triple team, like WWF.
Yeah, which, you know, again, I'm all for that bit. Love that big fish.
Mind you, WWF but wouldn't do that now because they're the World Wildlife Fund. They wouldn't want people eating dinosaurs eating each other, have you?
Of course. Against but her. That's weird you said that, because I said that this, I've noted here that the move that the Tyrannosaurus Rex does is like a WWE special move.
He just kind of shoves him into Freddy Krueger's fingers.
Yeah.
Right through its head, and it dies. And then they kind of kick its head.
Yeah.
Almost like, you're dead, bitch. Yeah.
And he turns to the camera and he's like, clawed your way back from that one.
Yeah, nice one. Hey, there was a clause in the contract of you being created in this park. And it was me, bitch. Because he has to say bitch because he's Freddy Krueger. Freddy Krueger ends every sentence with bitch.
Oh, yeah, certainly does.
Freddy, what would you like in your tea? Two sugars, bitch. Anyway, so they fly off in the helicopter. Kayla says, hold on again. Owen has Beta strapped to his back and sits down too fast and kills him. That doesn't happen, but it feels like it would. He kind of jumps in and sits down really fast. I mean, like, oh, shit. We'll just tell him a dinosaur did it. The T-Rex, they've done that. So Ellie and Alan rekindle their romantic relationship on the...
Oh, can I just ask, does Freddy Krueger just have that dinosaur on the end of its claws for forever?
No, it slides off.
Okay.
And they put it on the, and it's left on the floor, and that's when the T-Rex kind of nudges its head or kicks its head to check its dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm imagining that it's just wandering around with it on it. It's just forever being like, that for fuck's sake.
It'd be like some sort of like a biblical tale, wouldn't it? Like, you know, instead of carrying a rock or a planet, or I've got to carry a gigalosaurus around. Yeah, funny.
Yeah, and then they're all under the plane, which looks suspiciously like the end of one of the Star Wars is which oh, was yeah. the one where they're all under the hangar. And the pilot is chatting up a redhead.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns out that all the rescue crew are redheads.
Whoa, fucking love that.
And she's like, do you know what I love more than that? It's planes. And yeah. she wants to fuck a plane.
Planes
and Ellie and Grant nearly fuck on the runway.
They do.
Very, like, sexually charged ending. Yes.
Like, nothing gives me the horn more than dinosaur death.
And planes.
Alan, I thought you liked dinosaurs. Fucking hate them now. It's the third time I've had to deal with these cunts. Never want to see one again. So then they go to testify with Ian and Ramsey against Biosyn. Because we forgot to mention, by the way, that Dodgson escapes and is then killed by the Dilophosaurus.
Yes, well, so all my notes at this point are like, why does he have that can from the last one? Because I didn't realise that he's the same dude from that.
We got Dodgson
here. But that all makes sense. And he goes like, we had an agreement between him and Ramsey Cole. And he's like, I'm not like you.
Yeah.
And it's just really, he's just so odd. Like, there's a bit earlier on where he, like, gets upset that it's all gone wrong when they have to, like, evacuate, and he just starts, like, punching a chair.
Oh, God, yeah, he goes really kind of, you wouldn't do that in front of your subordinates.
No, and there's, like, all the way through the film, he is chewing and eating bars of summing, and that looks like it's going to reveal itself somehow, but...
Like he's genetically modified.
Doesn't.
Like half a rabbit or something.
Yeah, he
had cancer and they replaced his cancerous cells with rabbit ones, which is why he's always munching and having sex with chairs. Anyway, so yeah, he's dead. So they then testify against Biosyn. Yeah. Owen, Claire and Maisie go home and with Beta, and Blue turns up out of the bushes.
Yeah.
And I've put here, wouldn't it be better if Beta had died and they tried to pass him off Beta as a painted chicken, like when your goldfish dies and you got another one?
Well, we couldn't rescue your kid, but we've got this cool new backpack.
Yay.
It's just our own child.
But Blue literally stops, looks at Owen and sort of, it would be better if he'd have gone, or she'd have gone, formed his lips.
You're getting cancelled. You're getting cancelled.
Oh, sorry, her
Stop
lips.
Misgendering dinosaurs.
Sorry. Stops, forms words in her lips and goes, thank you, Owen. Much better film.
Much
better film.
But that bit is just like they've gone to go testify. The newsreader who didn't die is still there, telling you the plot of the film that you've just watched as exposition. And there's like cute dinosaurs in the park, and then you're like, okay, well, this kind of makes sense. And then it just cuts to them being like, and now we're gonna give the dinosaur baby back, and you're like, ow. Yeah. There's so many different threads of plot in this, and none of them are good. And they like put them all together, and
it's such a hodgepodge. And then we get this thing about how the dinosaurs and humans now adapt to a new coexistence, and the United Nations have declared Biosyn Valley as an international dinosaur sanctuary.
Woo!
Until they get out.
So I would argue that then from here the film gets fucking brilliant again, because Woo goes into the field with the thing, and he releases a locust, and the murmuration goes up and creates the shape of an anus and goes, this is what I think of this film.
Yeah.
It could have been any shape, I think.
Cock and balls, surely.
Cock and balls.
With little locusts coming out as the you know, the squirts.
And then, and then it's like, dinosaurs can coexist. And Charlotte Locke was like, we need to coexist, which is basically the same as when Madonna did her Super Bowl show. And at the end of her Super Bowl show, she made the ground say, world peace.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's as effective as that.
At least it wasn't the Janet Jackson one. At least Charlotte didn't get her tits out. Justin Timberlake comes in and rips her shirt off. What do you do that for? I'm doing a serious speech. I like tits. Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Justin. And then I would argue the greatest ending to a film ever, maybe the last minute of this film, I was crying with laughter.
Remind me, what was it?
The last minute of this film is maybe we can coexist, and then it's just examples of dinosaurs getting on with other animals.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it because Wu has released the locust thing that makes them not do bad things anymore, and that's kind of spread. But does that mean that he's ruined the food chain?
Well, potentially. But we only see herbivores getting on with each other, don't we? We don't see like a T-Rex.
Excuse me, the water dinosaur is hanging out with the blue whale.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
There's the horse dinosaur and the horses. There's the birds and the pterodactyl.
Yeah, you're
a long neck tries to fuck a redwood and the pilot gets jealous.
Yeah.
And then the water dinosaur and the blue whale and triceratops and elephants whilst the music swells.
Hmm.
And yeah, it's just basically like this film is 2.5 hours long. And there were some action scenes at one point, but there's not been any tension and none of it makes any sense. And at the end, they're like, we need to coexist.
Yeah.
And it tries to make a point.
And the only
as
thing
the music swells, and I was just pissing myself laughing, just watching this absolute travesty.
Absolute
just be
travesty.
Like, good message.
And the only plot really that's occurred is some locusts have been sorted out. Some, you know, have been eradicated. Because everything else had no threat to anybody at all outside of the valley.
No. Well, Charlotte didn't think she was a real person.
Oh,
but
thank God.
Then she finds out that, you know, she kind of is. And that's about it.
Yeah, big load of crap.
And then the credits roll and it says directed by Alan Smithy.
Yeah.
Or at least it should.
Should have done. But they're doing a new one.
Yes, they announced in between us. Mm. So I sent you a list of like five and you went, let's fucking do
this.
I think the exact sentence you said was, let's do Jurassic World Dominion. I fucking hated that film.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that point, I'd only seen it in the cinema where me and my girlfriend just like pissed ourselves laughing watching it throughout. But then I rewatched it with my girlfriend and she was like, this is really boring when it's not dinosaur bits.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I got my memory's tarnished. But yeah, in between that and now, they've announced the new one. What do you reckon it's going to be?
Well, apparently it's not going to have any of the people from this or the previous trilogy in it. It's going to be a brand new thing.
The Lord.
And it's the man who's doing, as we're recording this, because someone's going to listen to this in 10 years and go, what a dick. Apparently it's the man who's doing like the Fall Guy. And he did a couple other things. I don't know. It's probably going to be bad because there's no stories left to tell. Because like the first film is all you need. And everything
else. Okay, so the second one and the third one promised to be dinosaurs are now in our world, and this is what that film is about. And neither of them delivered.
No.
Neither of them delivered on that actually
interesting
premise.
They both retreated back to the fact that dinosaurs are enclosed and then break out.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, so one of my favourite things to do, John, is go on IMDb and find good films and find 1-star reviews of them and bad films and find 10-star reviews.
Oh, okay.
10 out of 10. Hmm. So I've got a 10 out of 10 IMDb review for this film. Would you
please,
like to?
I'd love to.
Headline, Michael Crichton would be proud.
Oh my God.
As someone who's read Michael Crichton's books, darn near all of them, still haven't read Airframe.
So not all of them then.
This movie was all the things! Wrap it up, full circle, deep commentary on scientific power we wield as humans with both miraculous and disastrous consequences. This is not a crowd-pleasing, no-need-to-think monster action movie, which is something Michael Crichton's novel was never meant to be. At long last, the second franchise finally got back to the roots of what the books really were about. I loved every second of it.
Oh, God.
And that was written by Chris Pratt.
It was written by Halal I Am Mental. His full name. Jesus Christ. God, his letterbox was seized by the government. I don't mean his letterbox, I mean his letterboxed. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Michael Crichton famously got tricked by Spielberg, didn't he? Because like Spielberg was like, you've got to write a sequel book. And Crichton was like, I don't want to. And he goes, no, you've got to write one. And he's like, okay, I'll write one. And then Spielberg got it and went, ah, ignore that. We'll write our own one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I don't think he'd be very pleased. I don't think he was that enamored with any of them that followed the... I don't think he even liked the first film that much.
Oh, really?
I don't think so. It's quite different to the book. John
yeah,
Hammond's
Stephen King
48
doesn't like any
feet
of his...
tall in the book. Hmm.
Say again?
No, I was being stupid. Stephen King...
I can't believe you're being stupid about a Jurassic Park film.
Sorry about that. Yeah, Stephen King hates...
Stephen King didn't like any of his good adaptations, right?
Yeah, he likes all the bad ones. His favourite film is Maximum Overdrive. It's not really, no. But he likes the TV version of The Shining over the Kubrick one, which is a bit odd.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Yeah. So David Hall with an H.
Yep.
Thank you very much for coming with me to Jurassic World Dominion and talking about it.
Thanks you so much for having me. The day after I rewatched this, I was with my friend and he was like, what have you been up to? And I was like, oh, last night I rewatched Jurassic World Dominion. And he said, that's the first time anyone's ever said that sentence.
I think it is. Yeah. I think that should be recorded in amber. Future generations to remove the DNA from it and see what was wrong with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I recall the time they found those fossilized mosquitoes, and before long they were cloning DNA. Some irate velociraptors. Well, believe me, this has been one lousy day. Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark. All the dinosaurs are running wild. Someone shut the fence off in the rain. I admit it's kinda eerie, but this proves my chaos theory, and I don't think I'll be coming back again. Oh no! I cannot approve of this attraction, 'cause getting disemboweled always makes me kind of mad. Tyrannosaurus ate our lawyer. Well, I suppose that proves they're really not all bad. Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark. All the dinosaurs are running wild. Someone let T-Rex out of his pen. I'm afraid those things will harm. They sure don't act like Barney, and they think that I'm their dinner, not their friend. Oh no!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.